With us now to pick up on some of the points Vicky O'Hara raised in her report and to flesh out some other things that caught our eye in the poll is Andrew Kohut. He's director of the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press, which coordinated the whole effort. Andy, thanks so much for joining us.
I'm happy to.
Jackie and I both have a lot of questions for you, so I'm going to do the polite thing and let her go first.
Okay. Andy, why don't we start by looking at Turkey? Turkey, of course, is going to be a critical ally in the looming war against Iraq. And not terrifically supportive of the war on terrorism.
Yes, only 30% of the Turkish public, a NATO ally, has a favorable opinion of the United States. That's compared to 52% in pre-911 surveys in the year 2000. And Turkey has a lot of problems, and they have a lot of problems with us. Interestingly, in the survey that we did in November, we found the Turks, unlike the Europeans, divided over whether regime change in Iraq would even be a good thing for Turkey. Great suspicions that we don't want it to get rid of Saddam Hussein because he's a threat to the region and to world peace, but because we're on a program of taking on unfriendly Muslim nations.
Andy, this poll was so extensive, covered so many different subject areas and issues. Before we get any further into the discussion, I did want to ask you about the details of how the survey was conducted. I mean, were there any countries that blocked your efforts? Were there any questions that couldn't be asked?
Oh, in China and Vietnam, they scotched about a third to 40% of the questions. They're just too sensitive. You don't ask questions about the party. You don't ask questions about the national leadership. In Egypt, the local survey organization wouldn't ask some sensitive questions about the government, about suicide bombings and things like that, because they would be thrown in jail.
So many of the questions deal specifically with attitudes toward the United States. And I wondered, for example, when you ask people, do you like American ideas about democracy, how clear is it that those surveyed really know anything about American democracy?
Well, they have an impression, Lynn. And the impression in the emerging countries of Africa and Asia is positive. And oddly enough, among our old friends in Europe and even in Canada, it's less positive. We're more criticized for the way we conduct ourselves, our democracy, our business practices by our friends, but we remain a model to the developing world.
And if I could return to perceptions about a looming war with Iraq, I was not surprised that Middle East countries perceive this as being a war for oil. But I was surprised that 85% of all Russians feel that way, 75% of the French population, and 54% of all Germans, particularly compared to just a quarter of all Americans perceiving it as a war for oil, that there seems to be a huge disconnect. Even with the imprimatur of UN support at the Security Council, we're not talking about publics that are supportive of a war.
No, they're not. But they support the aims of the war, but not the war themselves. That's what's really interesting. They're as likely as Americans to see Saddam Hussein's regime as a threat to regional stability and as a threat to world peace. Most of them think that Saddam can't be trusted to disarm. He really has to go. But they're disinclined to see their countries participate in a war. Even in Britain, we found the public evenly divided. And a lot of suspicion about our motives, even though most of our European allies recognize the threat posed by Saddam.
Picking up on that, there's another disconnect about fighting the war on terrorism and whether or not that includes trying to settle the Middle East conflict. In all the Muslim countries, the war on terrorism is viewed negatively. You also report that suicide bombing is favored by the majority of Muslims that you surveyed. Is there a sense that the U.S. is more interested in policing the planet than trying to resolve its problems?
I think one of the issues here is that our focus is on the war on terrorism and Iraq right now. But when we ask Europeans, and implicitly I think the people in the Muslim nations would agree, what's the bigger problem, the conflict between Israel and the Palestinians or Iraq, they overwhelmingly say, or substantial percentage of them say, it's the Israelis and the Palestinians. So we have a certain different way of looking at things. With regard to suicide bombing, we found very substantial percentages of people in Muslim nations, in some cases majorities or pluralities, but large numbers in all countries, save maybe Turkey and Uzbekistan, who feel that suicide bombing in defense of Islam is often or sometimes justifiable, and that's obviously a worrisome attitude.
But Andy, I was really struck by the fact that there seems to be a real disconnect between the United States and many countries in the world, particularly in developing nations, which isn't necessarily surprising, but it's really striking in this survey. And I think one of the questions that brought this out was what people in different countries consider to be their major concern. For instance, in Africa and a number of other regions, the spread of disease, specifically AIDS, it's the top global danger in more countries than any other. Whereas in the United States, that's sort of down at the bottom of the list or pretty low down the list. I just wonder if part of the problem is that the U.S. has a basic lack of understanding about what some of the rest of the world really is facing.
Well, there is truly an enormous global gap. America sees the threat of nuclear weapons, terrorism to a greater extent as a threat to the world. And for much of the developing world, it's disease. I mean, when we asked a question about what are the top problems in your country, 98% said the spread of disease. You don't get many 98% in surveys all throughout Africa. And resentment toward the United States about not doing enough about this problem is an issue with respect to these developing countries. But these developing countries, on the other hand, still look to the United States as their hope and as their model.
Again, another one of these disconnects came with a question about, can you afford to feed your children? Can you afford groceries?
Well, more than anything else, this poll shows we're all on the same planet, but we're leading very different lives. In the West, maybe one in 10 or somewhat 1 in 6 say they couldn't afford food. In Russia and Eastern Europe, it goes up to 50% and 60%, 86% in Angola. In the developed nations and in the West and Japan, for the most part, people can afford. They get what they need. But living without is the way most of people on this planet live. And this study illustrates that that gap is as large as ever. And we're kidding ourselves if we think that there isn't a very different set of experiences around the world.
Well, the conclusion of this report is pessimistic, that for all our tighter, smaller, more globalized planet, you know, which is traveling along at an ever greater speed through our much admired American technologies, people are pessimistic. We are at a pessimistic place in history.
Yes, this is a tough time for the planet. The globalizing countries, the countries that are more connected, are happier, but they tend to be the richer countries. But if you look at the bottom half of the scale, the problems of the planet, whether they're disease and AIDS, as they are in Africa, or the threat of war and terrorism in the West, it doesn't make for a happy planet as this year comes to an end.
We can just look at each other more intently across the divide.
That's right.
Thank you very much, Andy Cowhead, for coming in.
Well, you're welcome.
Andrew Cowhead is director of the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press. You can find a link to the survey we've been talking about on our website, npr.org.